Ecclesiastes chapter 9, and we'll read just one verse this morning. We'll make our prayer, and then we'll jump into our message. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, and just verse number 10. The Bible says this, in this wonderful scripture. The Bible says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, it is truly a privilege to be able to open your word. And Lord, we are a privileged people to be able to learn from your word and to grow and to see areas of our life that need to be changed or altered. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us as we seek to please you. I pray that you would give us truths to help us in our lives, Lord, that we would make good decisions, that we would make decisions that honor you. And I pray that you would be glorified in all of these things. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We have all heard, I'm sure, of the story of Jim Elliot. Jim Elliot was one of the five missionaries that attempted to reach the Akkas with the gospel of Christ. The Akkas were a tribe deep in the jungle of Ecuador, and the men decided that they would lower buckets down from a plane to make initial contact, to build a relationship. And when they finally decided to land that plane and to reach out to the Aqua and to give them the gospel, all five men were killed. Now, before his death, Jim Elliot wrote many things in his journal about his walk with God and his relationship with Christians. And one of those sayings that Jim Elliot wrote in his journal became very popular in our world today within the Christian circles, and you probably have heard it before, and it is simply this: he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Sacrificing the temporal for the eternal is exactly what Jim Elliot and those missionaries did. It's never foolish to live a life for God. But there's another quote that Jim Elliot has that is not so popular. It is not so well known. And this is the quote that he wrote in his journal many years ago. He said this: wherever you are, be all there. Live to the hilt every situation you believe to be the will of God. Now that's just a wonderful thought. Wherever you are, be all there. Now, I'm sure that Jim Elliot had a lot of scripture in mind. I'm sure he was thinking about Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5. I'm sure he was considering Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16, where the Bible says, redeem the time because the days are evil. Buy back the opportunity that you have. Make good use of the time that we have. There's a new product, or not so new anymore, and that product is called the ticker watch. Now, this watch is something different than many people would think of when they think of a wristband or a wristwatch. It counts down your life so that you can enjoy every second. It was available in 2014, and it's boasting thousands of pre-orders. The ticker watch is on a dot matrix screen, and it shows the seconds that you have left on Earth as they disappear into a black hole. Now, the slogan for this company, the ticker watch, is simple, and that is this: make every moment count. Now, your estimated death is, of course, an estimate. The ticker watch uses an algorithm similar to the use of that the federal government uses to calculate the life expectancy. Then it converts this into a countdown of years and months and days and minutes and seconds that you have left on Earth. And the effect is striking. It's a device that reminds you that your time is running out. Now, the inventor of the ticker is a 37-year-old Swede. His name is Frederick Colting, and he claims to have invented the gadget not as a morbid object, but as a serious attempt to change his own way of thinking. Colting, a former gravedigger, said this: "The occurrence of death is no surprise to anyone. But in our modern society, we rarely talk about it. I think if we were more aware of our own finitude, we'd certainly make better choices while we were alive." And that's why he calls it the ticker. It's called the happiness watch. He's convinced that watching your life go by will remind you to savor life while you have it. Now, we all tend, without even thinking about it, we all tend to brag about tomorrow. Few people, or perhaps no one, usually lives life as if it's their last day upon the earth. We expect to wake up tomorrow. We expect that we have a full day ahead of us. We expect to take our children to school or to see our dreams come true. None of us expect this to be our last Sunday together. We normally think that, you know, we'll see each other again on Wednesday, or we'll see each other again next week. Those of us with children, we expect to see them grow up. We expect them to become adults. Those who are studying expect that they will indeed finish their courses and that they will indeed graduate. This is how we are wired. But we have to realize this morning that nothing is certain. And that is also speaking of the next day. Now, as we study our Bibles together, God over and over again reminds us that if we're going to do something, we need to do it now. The opportunity to become a better parent is now. The opportunity to keep the promise that we made to our wife or to our husband is now. The opportunity to share the gospel with that person that we know, or that neighbor, or that loved one, is now. And this is what the Bible is teaching us. Proverbs 27:1 says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Now, the year 2024 may indeed bring to us 366 opportunities. 366 opportunities to serve God, opportunities to influence our children, opportunities to communicate love to our husband or our wife, opportunities that we have in this moment, but not guaranteed tomorrow. Because the reality is that 2025 may not come for you or for me. And so what does the Bible teach us? What does the Bible say? Well, I want to kind of break down this text, if we could, and give us some truths about wherever we are, that we would be present and we would live life to its full extent. Number one, if you're taking notes, could you write down this? There's an opportunity to be seized. There's an opportunity to be seized. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 9, verse 10 again, "Whatever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. For there is no work, no device, no knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." I want us to notice the simple expression here this morning. This message is not groundbreaking, but I think it's very practical for our lives. And notice this expression. The Bible says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do," look at this, "do it." Do it. I have a friend who is, he's an engineer at a nuclear plant in Ontario. And he received a message from his bosses several years ago. And everyone in that power, that nuclear power plant, received the same email. And in that email, I'm going to read it to you. This is the message that was shared to him from his bosses in this nuclear plant. They said this: "Let's eliminate the word 'I should' from our vocabulary. If I should do it, so be it. There's no point of saying I should. The only thing that counts is doing it. Now, I thought that was interesting because I think in my own life and in your life, if you are honest, there's a lot of things that we say I should do. I should do those things. Most of us know that we should be doing something with our family. We should be doing things with our children. But often we put those things off, telling ourselves, well, we'll do those things in our service to the Lord. We'll do those things when the time is right. I think we probably all have a list of people to contact. I'm sure all of us have a list of people that we should encourage, that we should evangelize. And, you know, our attitude often is, well, I should call that person. I should reach out to that person. But the problem with I should is that we often never get to it. We never accomplished it. I'm sure all of us have projects in 2023 that still to this day remain unfinished. And oftentimes our attitude is, I should do those things. And we have valid reasons, at least reasons valid to us. But sometimes these are just excuses and not reasons at all. The verse says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Look at that. Do it. Do it. Do it. Wherever you are, be all there. Be engaged. Be involved. You know, it might be a good idea, even while you're listening to me preach, to write down some names, to write down some things that need to be done, to think about people that need to be contacted or evangelized or maybe letters written, apologies given. The reality is we must all appear before God. The Bible teaches us that we will all stand before the Lord. And I think when we stand before the Lord, there are two areas in particular that will be important. What have we done to serve God? And what have we done to invest in our family? And I think serving God boils down to a witness for God and a servant within his local church. I think these are important areas of our life. Those that we know that need the gospel. We cannot say, I should, but take the opportunities that God has given to us because it will soon be too late. It will soon be too late. And I think this is what Solomon is talking about. I think this is what he's saying. He's saying, listen, take the opportunities that we have to serve the Lord. Take the opportunities that you have to be a part of the work of God. And there are opportunities here at Kitchener Baptist Church for you to be involved in. And I think we serve God in various reasons. We serve God and worship God with our tithes and offerings. We make good and right time with our family. And when I talk about spending time with our family, I'm not talking about our family on the couch and us on a chair and us on our phone. I'm talking of being present, being all there, investing in their life. Asking them how their day was, helping them, encouraging them. The reality is we are to do it in the present because we don't know what tomorrow holds. But I think there's another thought here, and this is, I think, what Solomon is trying to teach us, is that an opportunity is also coming to an end. An opportunity is coming to an end. As I mentioned before at the very beginning of the message here, time doesn't stand still. And we have no assurance that tomorrow will come. And we have even less assurance that next year will come. And so Solomon here is teaching us some truths that we may never finish those studies. And we may never find another job. And we may never live in another neighborhood. And we may never have those luxuries that we think we need. And so the Bible is teaching us that wherever you are in this moment in your life, don't make excuses why you can't do something, but be ever present and do it. And do it. Because the present moment is the only moment we have. And the Bible says that moment is coming to an end. Look what the Bible says again in our text, Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. It says this, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, no device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. An interesting thought here. The word there for grave is the word sheol, and it speaks here more than just being placed in the ground, but to be in eternity. And it would be the equivalent to the Old Testament paradise that was separated by a great gulf fix. And we know that after Jesus' resurrection, the child of God who dies does not go to Sheol, but instead he goes straight into God's presence. As the Bible teaches us, Paul said in Philippians 1:23, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. In 2 Corinthians 5:8, the Bible says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. But what the Bible is teaching us in this passage of Scripture is that one of these days we are going to leave this old world. And it may be sooner than later. We don't know when that's going to take place. But when we get to the other side, we won't be able to finish our work on this earth. This is what Solomon is teaching us here. When we get to the other side, we're not going to be able to act here on this earth. We're not going to be able to communicate or help or give or teach. If we want to do something for our family, then we need to do it now. If we want to do something for the gospel's sake, then we have to do it now. If we want to serve within the church, then it has to be done now. That's what the Bible is teaching us. I don't wear a watch. I haven't worn a watch. I wear a watch sometimes, but normally when I'm here, when I'm preaching, I don't wear a watch. I'm running around the building doing things, but I often look at my phone as a watch. And I don't know how many people do that, but they kind of use your phone as your watch. And I wonder how my life would change if I could install an app on my phone to tell me how much time I had to live. That every single time I looked at my phone to see the time that I looked at that watch, and I would see the seconds, the minutes, the hours, the days, the years of how long I had on this earth. And I think that there's no doubt about it that when I first look at that and see these seconds ticking away into the abyss, I think that first it would bring to me a sense of panic. That would be my first reaction. But I think also it would be something that would help me to be aware that I have to live my life for the present. The time is not guaranteed. I was last week in Montreal, and I was able to preach for my brother-in-law in Montreal. Of course, he interpreted in French because my French is a little rough. But we had a good time with him, and he was telling me, my brother-in-law was telling me that during missions conferences, he travels all over North America for missions conferences. He's a missionary that is in Montreal. And he says that oftentimes during a missions conference, churches will put up a tally of how many people every second go into eternity. And so you could imagine if we were to place a giant number here, and it would show from the very beginning of my message to the very end how many people stepped into eternity in this world. And he says that that number is very sobering as he's reminded that we are to live for this moment. And we're also reminded of the importance to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and to live for God. And so this passage of Scripture teaches us these important truths. It teaches us that life, we are to live for the moment, that we are to do what is the opportunities to serve God. We are to do it now. And we ought to also remember that our life is coming to an end, and that one day we will stand before Almighty God and we will give an account of our life. And we may have all the excuses in our mind, but I guarantee it, when you stand before a holy God who knows your heart, there'll be no excuse that will ever matter before God. I want us to notice the last point, and I'll be done. There's a possible final opportunity. There's a possible final opportunity. Now, it's never a pleasant thing to go beside the bedside of someone who's dying. That's a difficult thing to do. And when you do that, when you kneel beside the bed of someone who's moments, hours away from stepping into eternity, you usually say something meaningful. You talk about things that matter. You don't joke around too much unless, of course, they start it. But in general, you talk about important things. You talk about things that need to be said. You don't talk about those things that are passing. You don't talk about sports or television or entertainment. Those things that they do not matter. You talk about God. Talk about family. You talk about important things. Now, think about this for just a moment. This will help us, because all of us are dying people. We are all dying people. And no one can escape death. The Bible teaches us that no one can get out of that war. Death will come for all of us one day. Millions of people will have 2024 written on the tombstone as the year they die. And it may be me, and it may be you. Or maybe 2 Thessalonians chapter 4 will be fulfilled this year, and we'll hear the trumpet and be in the presence of the Lord Jesus. And in either case, we'd be leaving behind, let's be honest today, we would be leaving behind a lot of opportunities. We would be leaving behind a lot of opportunities for service, a lot of opportunity for influence. We'll be leaving incomplete projects, unsaved contacts, and so on and so on. Let me ask you this question today, and I'm saying this with all seriousness. Please look at your own heart. If you were to die today, are you ready? Are you ready? I know it's an unpleasant thought, but are you ready to meet God? Are you right with God? Are you assured of being a citizen of heaven today? Have you received the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord? Solomon is quite clear here, speaking of death. He says, whither thou goest, it's not an uncertainty. We will all die one day. We will all face death one day. But the reality is, we have to understand this important question: where will we go? And if you don't know the answer today, then I believe that God brought you here to be saved. Because he loves you so much. He wants to be your heavenly Father. He wants to wash your sins away. And in simple faith, you can trust him today. And if you're not a Christian, would you please respond in the invitation? Would you please take that step forward so that we could show you from a Bible how you can be saved? But I'll tell you this. As you search the Bible and read the Bible, there are examples after examples of people who have waited, and they waited, and they waited, but they waited too late. I think of King Agrippa. Almost thou hast persuaded me to be a Christian. Almost. Almost. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, would you turn there, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And notice what the Bible says here. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 2. And notice what the scriptures say here. The Bible says in verse number 2 of chapter 6, 2 Corinthians, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Do you notice that word there? Now. Do it. Do it. Don't put it off. Don't wait till tomorrow. Do it now. Today is the day of salvation. You know, I just believe this. If you want to be a different person in 2024 than you were in 2023, which I think that's our goal, then whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might. I think we need to take out this idea of "I should" from our vocabulary. We have to be in the present. Wherever you are, be all there. Be all there. Don't just go through life with this attitude of just floating through, but be present. Be invested. Take the opportunities that God has given to us. Life is indeed a race against time. You don't know what tomorrow will hold. So eliminate the expression I should from your vocabulary. If you have people that you need to talk to about the gospel, then do it now. If you have people to be influenced, your family, your loved ones, do it now. If you need to serve God or want to serve God or have opportunity to serve God, do it now. If you need to forgive someone, do it now. If you need to receive forgiveness, do it now. If you're not a Christian and you need to put your faith and trust in Christ, receive Him now. Because the page will turn one day and you'll step out in eternity. And you'll have all of those things that I should have done that still remain undone. God, help us this morning to make good decisions. Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, with